You haven't heard about the McCrispy yet? Well then, you probably haven't heard the sweet silence after the first crispy bite either. Go try it for yourself to hear the best not sound you've ever heard.
Hey everyone, welcome into the Dublin Denver podcast on the Mile High Report podcast network. Michael McQuaid, Colin Cronin, Stuart Roach, all three of us together again for the first time in a while. My fault, Colin's fault as well. I don't know how we didn't get Colin when he was over in Denver last weekend, but Broncos beating the Chargers 28-13. I'm actually going to start the show with Stuart, Colin, just very quickly. Did we both pick the Broncos last week, Stuart?
Michael, a friend of mine. Yeah, a similar Broncos fan vintage sent me a text there about half an hour ago. He said, "You two lads, you keep predicting losses for us and we'll have home field advantage in the playoffs before we know it." So, yes, we both very confidently predicted that the Chargers would have too much. I think we were both at least by a touchdown, if not more. So we couldn't have gotten that any more wrong. So
I'm delighted.
Every time we pick them to win, they lose. Every time we pick them to lose, they win. So
that's can't wait to hear a prediction later on, Stuart.
I think if we get to the playoffs and the Broncos, you know, they owe us a debt of huge gratitude. So and they can help pay my Paddy Power bill as well if they want to.
Well, 28-13 win. We'll dive into that in a minute. But Colin, you were at the game. You were in Denver over the weekend. You were in the media section in the stadium, which I've been to before, you know, on a tour. It looks fantastic. Tell us, before we go into the game, tell us about your experience. How did you enjoy it?
Oh, amazing experience. It was great to be back in Denver, be back at Mile High, and the place was buzzing. The atmosphere was absolutely fantastic. I've been going over for at least a decade at this point, various games, seeing us in obviously the Peyton era, which was, you know, unbelievable, and the even before the Peyton era and in the post-Peyton era. But this was probably amongst the loudest I've heard Mile High, and it wasn't completely full. There were, I think, in and around 6,000-7,000 no-shows, but it was loud. It was really loud, and it caused Herbert issues all day. It was great to obviously have the opportunity to be in media, to meet so many of our friends who've joined us on various podcasts over the year. Troy Rank, the CBS Denver crew, Romy and Ryan. I got to meet Matt Boyer, said hello to Eric. The Broncos did a wonderful job in terms of hospitality. Got to say thanks to everyone who helped out with that. It was really wonderful, and obviously then to get the opportunity to hold the Lombardi Trophy from Super Bowl 32 afterwards was a very, very cool moment. You know, the memories of the beatdown that the 49ers put on us, to go from that to the helicopter play, and that at that moment knowing we're going to win this. So to hold that trophy that Elway and TD and Shannon Sharp and all of the other, Steve Atwater, I got to meet Steve at the game. He is an enormous man, and he is one of the nicest people you'll ever meet. Super, super nice guy. And I think I'm still kind of on cloud nine after the experience in Denver. It couldn't really have gone any better, and we got a win. So absolutely fantastic weekend, I would have to say.
Well, I picked four games correctly all weekend. Five. All weekend, and one of them wasn't the Broncos. So my picks at the minute are away to hell altogether. I'm delighted you had such a good weekend. I was really lucky to meet Steve Atwater at the training facility at Pat Boland Fieldhouse a few years ago, and he's such a great guy as well. I can only imagine the day you had, and obviously thanks to the Broncos for making that happen. Stuart, I bet you were watching on gleaming for a chance to touch that Lombardi trophy. Yeah, someday.
Someday indeed. Yeah. No, it's great to see you. The Broncos really looked after Colm, and you know, as somebody who's, you know, still has shudders when I think of that 49ers Broncos Super Bowl, like Colm, we've sort of, I think we bonded initially over our conversations about that. He was a younger chap than I was. It's great to see that he finally exercised those demons by touching the first Lombardi that the Broncos won. So yeah, no, it's great to see. It looked like he had a great weekend. And look, importantly as well, you got to see a win. Colm, I think, is a flawless. I think the one proviso that we mentioned on Friday, Mick, was that Colm has had a tremendous record in Denver when he was going.
What's your record, Colm, with the Broncos?
In Denver. It's very impressive, I believe, Colm. Is that right?
I have been very fortunate. I think if I look, I was trying to add it up over the weekend and look back, I am 7-4 in my time going to Mile High. And two of those defeats were actually preseason defeats. I got to see Russell Wilson when he took over he did so well in Seattle in the like that off season or preseason that he took the job as starter, and here we are 8 years later and Seattle are having issues. I also saw us lose to the Lions once in preseason. The regular season losses that I saw were to the Chiefs post the Super Bowl 50 in a game that we really should have won if Benny Fowler had held on to the ball. And I saw us lose to the Bengals in 2017 in what remains a really, really strange game. There was like an interception that was dropped like after a huge return. So there was all sorts, but yeah, I know I have seen three wins over the last three games and two wins over the Chargers, which has been very pleasing. And obviously Big Shelby coming up against the Steelers back in 2019. But just to also just give a shout out to Victor Ayala from Broncos Fanaticals. Great to meet with Victor, and to Marisol as well for all her help. So yeah, really fantastic. And we'll talk a little bit about the post game after we talk about the game, I suppose.
Yes, sir. I just need the 7 wins to get back to up to your level, 7-4 there. Looking forward to it someday. Who knows? Broncos 28, Chargers 13. Broncos 14, like obviously a fantastic result, fantastic win for the team. Broncos 14 for row up towards the end of the second quarter. Goes to 14-7. You start to get a little bit nervous. I'm not going to lie. I was starting to get nervous. Scoreless third quarter. And then the Broncos pull away in the fourth. Teddy Bridgewater, 129 yards, 11 for 18 completions. One touchdown. Drew Locke comes in at one point. I'm not going to lie. At one point, I was like, oh, Jesus, Colm. Here we go. Flights 1,000 euros seeing Drew Locke. Priceless. Javonte Williams having a nice day. 57 yards rushing. 57 yards rushing, 54 yards rushing, one touchdown. I was looking at the receiving, 57 yards receiving as well. Tim Patrick, Jerry Jeudy getting a bit of the action as well. And the defense coming up as well. Patrick Surtain, obviously. Great game. Colm mentioned a few things there. So I'll start with you, Stuart. You had the prop of my shenanigans late last week before this game. I was blown away, Stuart, in the third quarter. Sorry, the fourth quarter with this team. I was nervous at halftime. I thought we were going to give it away, especially because we looked a bit, you know, with the whole Drew Locke situation. I thought we weren't going to come back, but we did. We didn't just win. We beat the Chargers comfortably. And now we play for the lead in the West on Sunday. Can it get any better than that, apart from a win on Sunday?
Yeah, it can get better if they actually manage to sustain some kind of form for once, because we've seen this from Denver before. They're brilliant 1 week. They're absolutely appalling the next. It's unfortunate, I think, that this is a place that has become a graveyard for Denver over the last few. I mean, it's always been a tough place for Denver. It's been a particularly difficult place for Denver in December. Our record, even really good Broncos teams have had enormous struggles there over the years. So this is going to be a tough game. Although I suppose we'll see if the Chiefs revival is actually for real. I mean, one of the things to me, it's becoming more and more apparent, I think, every week that Javonte Williams is the Broncos offense. He had the most receiving yards. He wasn't too far behind Melvin Gordon. Like, he's the spark plug. He's the one that, it's the tackle breaking, but it's also the runs after the catch. You know what I mean? Like, I think the second longest reception in the entire second half was a dump off to Javonte Williams, who took it, I can't remember how far down the field. So, but to me, the really surprising and exciting thing for the Broncos is, because I think we know what the Broncos offense is at the moment. It's just, it's not caffeinated. It's not exciting. It's dull. Apart from the aforementioned Javonte Williams. But to me, the thing that really made me sit up and take notice was just how good the defense was. Most of that game, Broncos rushed four men and dropped an awful lot of defensive backs back there, which scrambled Herbert's brain. And those four people, whoever they were, obviously Draymond Jones didn't get a sack on the day, but I think he had something like seven quarterback pressures. Like, that's enormous in a four-man rush. You had Telvin Magee, you had Williams. These guys really showed, and also so did the rookies. I mean, I think it's been a bit of a rush to anoint George Payton as the greatest GM since sliced bread. We've been a little bit reluctant to go full on there, but I do think now you're beginning to sort of see, and I think you do have to hold your hands up. That's a pretty fantastic draft class all in. You're getting a superb cornerback in Pat Surtain, who, and people talk about, you've got your cornerstone positions, which is your quarterback, your left tackle, your pass rusher, and your cornerback. So quarterback is the most difficult position for a rookie to play, but cornerback is by far and away the second most difficult position for a rookie to play, I think. And apart from one or two struggles, he's been fantastic. Like, he's been our best defensive back, I think, all season. He's so polished. If you looked at that game and you didn't know anything about any of the players, the last person you would pick out as a rookie in the defensive backfield would be Pat Surtain. He's that good. Javonte Williams, as we've talked about, Browning has really come on in the last few weeks. He's really, really come on. So I think you got to take your hat off, but to Payton, but particularly on defense. We've heard about defensive gurus. We've heard about Vic's coaching tree. Sometimes that just seems ridiculous when you have games like against the Philadelphia Eagles. You have games against, the Cleveland Browns third stringers. But I think there are times when it clicks, and you can kind of understand what people are going on about. And I think Sunday absolutely was one of those situations. And the defense totally carried the day for me on the weekend. And hats off to Fangio, and hats off to a lot of sort of unheralded guys that are really beginning to hit their stride now. I think, if we can get, I said it on a Facebook group that I still members of, if we can just get this quarterback situation sorted out once and for all in the offseason, then I think we've got a really, really bright future. Now, I know that's a little bit Liverpool 1990s, next year is our year. I do get that. But I genuinely, for the first time in a long time, feel that if we can get that position fixed, this could be a playoff team year in, year out. There's that many good young players on that squad at the moment.
What's your thoughts, Colin, in regards to just the game and just general overall thoughts?
Yeah, the game was, it felt like we were in control the entire time. As I said, the crowd was loud from the off, and you could see that Herbert was struggling from the off. There was miscommunication an awful lot on the charges. You could see him pointing, you could see them just not working. And there were all sorts of kind of blown assignments. When you consider the line we had, now it wasn't perfect. Cushenberry struggled definitely, but when you consider what we were missing on the line versus the Chargers line, and we caused Herbert all sorts of issues. Draymond Jones, I thought, had another really, really good game, and Malik Reed and Chubb caused issues. So the defense, we talked about, Pat Surtain, but also Kenny Young has done well. Certainly at on Sunday he had a very good game, you'd have to say. But yeah, it was the running backs show for the most part. Now look, Teddy has a long way to go and hasn't helped himself at times with Broncos country, but he is the run for the first touchdown. Kudos to him for that, for just the vision to see it. And whilst I think we will need to absolutely, as Stuart is saying, look at the quarterback situation, and we have to get that sorted out. I think for this season, there is no debate anymore. Okay, Drew Lock came in relief and it didn't work. And I think it's evident to everyone outside of maybe the most ardent Drew Lock supporters that it's just not going to work in Denver. Whether it works anywhere remains to be seen. But he came in on his second possession, he fumbled the ball. We got really lucky that Tim Patrick got to that ball, and we actually got a first down out of it. But had that gone to the Chargers, that could have been so, so different. And then obviously he throws the interception. And the air, that was the one time it felt like the air might have come out of the stadium. And it was telling that, I suppose, you know, after the lack of the tackle against the Eagles, it felt like fans were quite pleased to see Teddy come back in. For all of the issues that there are, when we've talked about them, he doesn't turn the ball over, and that's a huge issue. When Drew, you know, played as many possessions as he did, and he fumbled and he throws the interception, you know, that's going to kill you in this league. So, you'd have to say, given the Chargers were coming in possibly off of one of their better performances. Certainly, I think they put 41 points on the Steelers the week before. To hold them in the manner that we did was outstanding. And I think, to me, from seeing it, Eckler was their kind of standout. He can be electric, but I think overall we did a good job with him. Mike Williams and Keenan Allen, yeah, I don't think they are top tier wide receivers and at tight end. I would take our wide receivers, tight ends, and running backs over theirs any day of the week. Obviously, they have a very good QB, but there are issues on that Chargers team. And what was phenomenal, and it's not news to anyone listening to this, I imagine, because they have been bad against the run, but I didn't, just to see it in person, to see how bad they are against the run. And for Williams, I think if he can learn just patience and just seeing the gaps, and that comes with time. I'm not a believer in linear progression. Not every single player gets better every year just because they're in the league. But for a lot of rookies, they do. And I think that is one area where you're beginning to see it more as he goes through the season. And just the way he makes players miss, and the way the stadium comes alive when he has the ball as well, was really fantastic. So I think for me, it was one of our most complete performances of the season. I mean, you look at the Dallas game, but it felt, you know, almost in the Dallas game, there was almost a disbelief because you were like waiting for the Cowboys. Whereas this on Sunday certainly felt like, no, we're in charge here. We're bossing this. And the response to the pick six was just magic. Just to see him run down the sideline. And I know Ryan Green has done the side-by-side of Surtain and Champ Bailey. And look, he's got a long way to go to be there with Champ. But what a moment for the rookie. Two picks. And the other thing to say, I suppose, just in relation to him and others came out as well, but Pat Surtain went down both lines of fans after the game, took photographs, signed autographs for everyone who wanted it. He could, like, for a superstar rookie who I think is the closest to Micah Parsons in terms of defensive rookie of the year. And maybe if we were on TV a bit more, he'd be a lot closer. But the Cowboys get a lot more national coverage. But he is super humble, super nice guy. Justin Simmons did it as well. Williams came out. You know, a lot of players, in fairness, have to go places after games. Teddy came out and had ice on the leg. I'm wondering what impact that might have for next Sunday. But overall, fantastic performance and a great game plan against the Chargers to curtail Herbert.
You haven't heard about the McCrispy yet? Well then, you probably haven't heard the sweet silence after the first crispy bite either. Go try it for yourself to hear the best not sound you've ever heard.
You were saying there about the vibe in the stadium, Colin, whenever you know, the whole Drew Lock thing was going on. You're talking about the vibe in the stadium. There was a vibe in my living room. I was like, oh no. Like, even the tweet. But even watching like the game on TV, I think you just sort of knew. I was like, oh no. And it didn't happen. We got away with it and we obviously won the game. But Stuart, is the Drew Lock experience over forever?
I think it has to be. I think it's a pity, you know. I think we believed in him. I think we felt that, you know, you gotta go with the younger guy this year. But I do now clearly know why they didn't. And I think it kind of reminded me of two things, both of which were desperately unfortunate. An older one was a quarterback that I really liked, Jake Plummer, in the AFC Championship game against the Steelers, which the Broncos were favorites to win. They'd beaten the Patriots the week beforehand. And it was all in front of them. And the Broncos just had a meltdown. And it was 17-3. There was about a minute left in the first half. And everything that could have gone wrong had gone wrong. But the Broncos are going to get the ball at the start of the second half. You know, you go in 17-3 down, you regroup, you just go, look, you know, things didn't go our way, but just get a score here in the opening drive. We're back in this. The one thing you can't do is throw a pick. I'm sure Shanahan said that to Jake Plummer. And what does Plummer do? He throws a pick and the Steelers score with 7 seconds left. Bang. 24-3 halftime. That's all she wrote. The other one that reminded me as well was when Paxton Lynch was absolutely stinking the joint out in a preseason game. And there'd been a bit of back and forth with Simeon. This was the second year that Lynch was there. Bit of back and forth. Who was going to get it? You know, do you go with the guy who's got the cannon arm? Do you go with the guy who's more cerebral? And Lynch came and just absolutely was appalling. And Simeon, who I think we all knew had massive limitations, came in and he looked like a proper NFL quarterback. Now, you could argue that Trevor Simeon isn't a proper NFL quarterback, but in comparison to, as our old friend Colin says, the taller than Danny DeVito competition, he was absolutely an NFL quarterback in comparison to Lynch. Locke cannot do that. You cannot do that. There is literally one thing you're not allowed to do in that situation, and that is to throw an interception. Now, it was a great play by Derwin James, but if that doesn't matter, if that ball is where it should be, which is in row F, then Derwin James, I don't care if he's Superman, he's not intercepting that. So I think that was probably the final straw. You know, I think realistically, you've seen Teddy Bridgewater probably with a concussion, with, you know, twice he's been injured to the point where he could barely walk, and he's been put back in both times. So I just think, you know, it was not going to happen for him. I think Locke's time ended with the Broncos when Scangarello was fired, because Locke and Shermer just are a dreadful match. Again, you could argue that Shermer's a dreadful match for just about every quarterback. But I think that was the end. So look, we go with Teddy until the end of the season. I think we've been over this before. I think we're all in agreement. You know, if Teddy is the guy next year, the only way that's palatable is if it's with a view to the rookie that they've traded up for coming in week 8 or week 10. But yeah, no, it has to be over now, Mick. I don't know. And as Colin said, you'd wonder if it's going to work anywhere. Maybe he's just a rookie. Maybe he might do a Ryan Tannehill. Maybe he might do a Heineke in Washington. You never know. One of those guys with a big arm who gets a chance, and maybe it clicks from later. Or maybe he's going to go the way of Paxton Lynch, and that's struggling to get a place in a roster up in Canada. I don't know which it's going to be. I wouldn't put money on either. I don't know. It's a pity because I think he had a lot of talent, but his time here is done, you know. And I think it's getting to the stage now when you're kind of going, is Brett Rypien maybe a safer option as a backup, because he doesn't turn the ball over, he doesn't have any arm what to speak of, but he's more in, you know, he's closer to Bridgewater probably than Locke is, and maybe it might make sense for him to be the backup. I don't know, might that be a little bit too harsh on Locke, but I personally speaking, I think that's probably what I would do now, because just it's just not happening for Locke, and it's not gonna happen for Locke. That's just the way it is.
Colin, just going to what Stuart said there, first off, do you think the Drew Locke experience is over? And secondly, what's your thoughts on Vic Fangio now? Like, you know, potentially top of the West come Sunday, all being well. Do you think Sunday is, you know, a game that might keep him in his job for another year, or what's your thoughts?
Well, I suppose in relation to Drew Locke, I think in Denver, it is done. It has to be done. And it Drew gets a shot elsewhere. It's going to be best for everybody. At this point, it's almost toxic, right? For everybody. So I think for Drew, it's not a question of the physical gifts. He has those, but he has to learn to make better decisions. He has to not force it. And that's a difficult thing, right? It can happen, and we have seen players make that leap, but it is difficult to learn to slow down, to go through your progressions. If you're a gunslinger, if you take chances, it's difficult to curtail that. So look, I think at this point, yeah, Drew is done, and certainly that seemed to be the talk in Denver, other than a few really, really ardent diehards, even people who really like Drew. And I know I was a big fan when we drafted him. I just don't think it worked. And let him go elsewhere. Let him fight for a job. But no, it's done in Denver, absolutely. And in terms of Fangio, yeah, now I suppose this is a great opportunity. It's been a really strange year in the West, and the Chiefs have been vulnerable, more vulnerable than we expected. So I think this is a great proven opportunity. This is an opportunity for Vic Fangio and the Broncos to potentially get to the playoffs. But this is, I think, a real proven period, right? You're going into December and you're playing meaningful football. So now you have the opportunity. Can Vic lead the team back to the playoffs? If he does that, I think he probably gets another year. I don't know if you could let fire a guy who took you to the playoffs. But, you know, we have seen, and Peter King wrote about this in his Monday morning column, like when you looked at the NFL last year entering December, the Steelers were 11-0. The Bucs were coming off of two really bad losses. So the things can change. September, October, November football is important. December, January, and February is where it's really all about. So it's great that we are sitting here as we move into December and we're talking about meaningful football. We haven't had that for some time. But we have to take advantage of the opportunity that exists now. So we'll absolutely come the middle of January, then we'll know.
Stuart, just before we get the game picks for Sunday, what's your thoughts on Fangio?
I don't think he's a very good head coach. I've never thought he was a very good head coach. I think he's clearly a brilliant defensive coordinator. James Merrillat said it after the Cowboys game a few weeks ago. If you're involved in a toxic relationship for 3 years, do you decide to stick together because you had one great weekend, which I thought was a pretty good analogy? The answer is no, unless you're a head case. Look, we'll wait and see. I agree with Colin. I think it would be kind of harsh to fire a guy who makes the playoffs. I would probably agree. Look, there's a lot of football left in this season. You know, this is a very strange AFC. I mean, I think it's becoming clear now that the Packers are by far and away the strongest team in the NFC. They've beaten most of their nearest competitors. It seems like the Packers are involved in an important game every week, and we seem to win most of them. You wonder if the Bucs are going to crank into gear. I have no idea who's going to win the AFC. I know the Patriots have started to come good, but the Patriots, you know, they beat the Titans the weekend. The Titans have no offensive players fit. So I don't know. I mean, I think you'd worry if the Patriots would somehow get home field advantage, because I don't think any of us were ready for the Patriots to emerge from their wretched cave as soon as it looks like they might do. So it's a peculiar AFC. I think this is an interesting game, as I kind of touched on earlier on. In some ways, it would have been better to get the Chiefs earlier in the season when they were sort of scrambling around for a bit of form. Because I think, Michael, we talked about this last week. Like, the thing with the Chiefs is, it's like a striker is going through a really bad, barren patch where they're kind of snatching at chances, and everything is kind of everything is kind of difficult. Like, I looked at the Chiefs a few times, and like stuff that they would normally do easily and, you know, as part routinely is difficult for them. It seems like they have to scrap for every yard on offense. So I think this is an interesting game. At least we've got a bit of form going into it. As I said, it's a terrible place for us to go as a team. The one, apart from the offense, I mean, Travis Kelce, we haven't been killed by tight ends as much as we have done, but unfortunately Kelce looks like he's beginning to crank into gear. The one guy who would really worry me, because we do have sort of we've got two relatively young players on the inside now with Graham Glasgow gone and Cushenberry, who has struggled. Chris Jones has wrecked Denver on pretty much every occasion he's played us over the last couple of years. He is a phenomenal interior pass rusher. So if Teddy is not particularly mobile, that's not a great strength of ours. So that would be a difficult matchup. And in fairness, we are doing our best with the offensive line, but we have had some crippling injuries there. So I think this will be an interesting game. Sorry, I know I'm going off in a bit. I think, yeah, if Fangio gets to the playoffs, unless they get absolutely walloped in the playoffs, which is highly likely, let's be honest, I think you'd probably leave him. To me, Fangio staying for another year, even if he does somehow scrape a wild card, Fangio means Shermer, means Bridgewater, means, you know, let's go to sleep, as far as I'm concerned. You just, you know, so that would be my worry. I don't want to sound like a negative, you know, overly negative here, but it's not exactly sexy. It's not exactly exciting. Do we need another year of this? I don't know. Look, I'd love us to get to the playoffs, but, you know, that's a little bit Sophie's choice, Mick. You know, if you make the playoffs and Fangio stays, it's like, you know, thanks for that. I was trying really hard to be positive because I've been so negative on this podcast. I'm trying really hard, and then you had to ruin it for me.
All right. Anyway, more importantly, right now, the immediate future, the AFC West lead, Sunday Night Football. By God, NBC hit the jackpot here. Colin, Broncos Chiefs, the winner of this game is the number one team in the AFC West. Who wins on Sunday and why?
Well, in terms, again, for Fangio to prove it, like, Fangio has lost the four games against the Chiefs. If the Broncos are to make the playoffs, we have to potentially beat the Chiefs twice. So if he does that, then, you know, that changes it. If you lose twice to them and you're 0-6 against the Chiefs, well, that's a different thing. But the Chiefs have looked vulnerable, or more vulnerable this season. But yeah, I mean, you look back, we didn't win at Arrowhead at all during the 60s. I think we won in the 70s were a bit more successful. The 80s weren't so good. The 90s, not so good. The early 2000s were a disaster. And then obviously we had the stretch where between Tebow and Manning, we did quite well at Arrowhead up until the post Super Bowl. And then it's just been, whether home or away, it's been a nightmare. I think if we are to beat the Chiefs, it's going to be going with the game plan that seems to slow them down. You have to take away the chunk plays, and you have to force Patrick Mahomes to be patient. He has admitted himself that he doesn't like that. He doesn't enjoy having to be patient. He doesn't enjoy doing the underneath stuff and kind of methodically going down the field. We know Patrick Mahomes is a gifted QB, but, you know, I said earlier that Drew Lock, it's difficult to learn patience. No matter how good you are, it's difficult to learn patience. It's probably one of the things why Brady has been so successful, because he's prepared to just, in a game if needs be, he'll dump it off. Mahomes finds that difficult. The nice thing is, I suppose, our defense is playing well. And I think we're in with a puncher's chance. And I think that's where, you know, the pressure should be on Vic Fangio, because it's time now. You've been up against the Chiefs four times. This is your third season. And Stuart was saying about the Packers, like Matt LaFleur, yes, he has Aaron Rodgers, but Matt LaFleur is 35-9 at this point after 3 years. So Vic, you're this your fifth game against the Chiefs. You know, some Broncos fans have said that it was Vic Fangio who created the blueprint and how to beat the Chiefs. Well, if he created the blueprint, here's the opportunity for his team to go and do it. Now, it's going to take everybody showing up, everybody having a great game, and the Chiefs having an off day. But look at some of the results this season. We talked earlier, Trevor Siemian beat Tom Brady, and the Saints did a number on the Bucs. So I think it's possible. It'll be very, very, very difficult. But I do think we're in with a puncher's chance. And if Vic Fangio, Pat Shurmur, and Teddy Bridgewater to remain, if they win at Arrowhead, that's an enormous first step. I believe it's possible. I believe the expectation for Broncos country should be that we should be going in thinking that we have a chance. We talked to Thomas Morstead, and he said that during his time with the Saints, they didn't expect to win every game, but they believed that they were in with the opportunity of winning every game. And so I don't think you can go in with the attitude that it's an insurmountable climb. I can see a path that the Broncos can take to win this. I'm going to go with the Broncos to pull the upset, and I hope that I am sitting here next week and that is the case.
Stuart, who have you got?
Well, I said we'd win one of the games between the Chargers and the Chiefs on Friday, Michael. So we've done that. I think we'll make it close. I think it's going to be similar to the game last year in Arrowhead, which, in fairness, we were pretty close to winning. Just they sort of pipped us right at the death. So I think that might work. But you know, as Colin said, Vic Fangio has the blueprint to supposedly came up with the blueprint to beat the Chiefs. And why doesn't he use it then? In that case, was he keeping it for something? Use it. I think there's a puncher's chance. You got a puncher's chance. It never happened. The Chiefs have let themselves look a little bit more vulnerable than previously when they've gone out the gate. Like, you know, I just think they're beginning to kind of come into a wee bit of form, and I think they've got weapons and strengths in areas that we struggle with a little bit. Like Tyreek Hill always shows against the Broncos. Travis Kelce always shows against the Broncos. So I think we'll keep it tight. I don't think we'll get blown out, which is good. I think that was the fear when they flexed this game. I think we were all a little bit surprised, but it now seems like that was actually a good decision, because it should be a good game. But I think we'll fall just a little bit short. But I think that's not the end of the world, because we do have the Lions the following week. So that will keep us still in the mix. But then there's a really tough stretch of game. So I think it'll be close. I think the Chiefs will win by something like 21-17, something like that.
I'm taking the Broncos to beat the Chiefs on Sunday for the sheer reason that I don't think the Chiefs, on the average of the season, have been good enough on all areas of the ball. They haven't been. Mahomes has been shocking for a fantasy owner, and I can't stand him at the minute. And Colin, your fantasy performance of the weekend was a disgrace, and you should be ashamed of yourself.
Is that because I beat you, Michael?
Yes, I'm very annoyed. Tyler Lockett and Nick Chubb. I'm actually taking the Broncos, and I'm not giving any more of an explanation because my sister, who has been to Australia for over a year and a half, has come home, and she's just somehow decided to land in the last 60 seconds. So I'm going to pick the Broncos. In all seriousness, though, I think our defense is going to get us over the line here. McManus field goal. I hope it snows. Sunday Night Football. I'm taking the Broncos 24, Chiefs 21. Mahomes to throw for under 250 yards and have two picks and a pick six. Broncos lead in the West. And we'll record on Monday night next week, Cryan. Sound good?
No, sounds sorry. Good. Just, you know, the way that Mahomes is having an absolute nightmare. You know, he's still fifth for passing yards in the NFL. Like, you do realize that, right? So these are all relative.
No, I know, but you never know. He's been weeks there where he hasn't been good enough.
3,300 yards or something in week.
Stuart, the Packers game with Jordan Love wasn't good enough. The Giants game, both of those things have one X factor there. They're both at Arrowhead. He hasn't been good enough at Arrowhead this year. Let's see what happens on Sunday.
No, that's true. I just think, yes, he has struggled by his high standards, but you know, we're not talking.
If we can contain Kelsey, we have a hell of a chance.
Yeah, and in fairness, Young has proven to be actually pretty good at covering tight ends, which, you know, has been a bugbear of myself and Collins for as long as we can remember. So yeah, look, if you can stop Kelsey, you've gone a long way to stopping the Chiefs. I think you have to assume that Tyreek Hill will get free from one massive play. I think that's just the way it is. That's just something that you have to accept. But if you can stop Kelsey, I think you've got a really good chance. So maybe. I think at least we've got a middle linebacker now with some genuine pace, which I think will help.
Yes, sir. Let's see what happens. I got to go. Anyway, Broncos Chiefs this Sunday for the top of the West. Please give us a like, subscribe to the Mile High Report channel. And thanks very much for listening to the Dublin Endeavour podcast another week. Nobody get the game this weekend. Let's see what happens and we'll take our picks from there. But Colin Stewart, a pleasure as always. Go Broncos. Enjoy the game this weekend if you're watching it in KC, Missouri, Colorado, or in Tralee. Cheers, lads.
Go Broncos.
Go Broncos.